It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
Holy cow, what are we going to do, guys? No Jim Russell here. I don't know what I'm going to do. All right. Are you there, Chief Pete?
I'm here. I'm sure Jim's listening to us. Hi, Jim.
I'm kind of muted today for some reason. Anyway, welcome to the show. It is Speak Out broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. Fine City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. And someone who is just as lonely sometimes, I've heard, as the Maytag repairman, Chief Troy Sterling.
Hey, good. Almost afternoon, everyone.
I'm kidding. You're not lonely.
That's
but,
right.
But yesterday you kind of were.
You keep me in the loop by bringing me here and keeping me relevant, so I appreciate that.
Jennifer told me she was gone yesterday, and then you told me that as well, and I'm like, oh.
I know.
Poor Chief.
I don't know what to do without Jen around.
Really?
Yeah.
And anyway, long story short, I drafted an email in the morning, and it didn't make it to Chief out of my outbox until about 4:55 in the afternoon. So, yeah, that's what happens when you switch between emails and it throws something into drafts, and you're like, did I send that to Chief? Anyway, Chief Pete is here as well, Chief People Office, Lake Havasu City Fire Department.
How you doing? Good afternoon.
Good. How are you?
Good.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Okay. Thanks. I'm not sure where to go with that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So we have a lot of topics to talk about today, and here's one that Mary Lou sent us, or brought in, actually, the Domestic Violence Awareness Walk. It's on this Friday, the 24th, 5:30, Rotary Park Ramada A, and a $20 registration gets you a T-shirt. So that's pretty cool. HavenCenterLHC.org. You can register now. And no registration, no problem. All are welcome. Just show up in purple. It's the 12th annual. Did you know that, Chief?
Crazy, yeah. Yeah, we'll be there.
You'll be there?
I will.
You're going to be walking.
I will.
Do you guys have a purple day? Have I heard that somewhere?
Well, the city does for for the nights, yeah.
That's it, yeah. That's it. And the Knights are doing very well,
They're doing really well, yes.
They play Estrella Foothills this Friday, back on the road. And Jim Chaney and myself will be there as well. It's in Goodyear, the Goodyear Foothills. If they win, since they beat Yonker last week, I have a feeling they're going to be in the state playoffs.
Okay, good.
Almost because their last opponent is well, not great.
On paper.
Somerton.
Right.
No, their ranking is really, really low.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, if they beat Estrella Foothills, which I think might be the powerhouse of the 4A West, they might get a bye. There's a new format now, 24-team playoff format. It's no longer the top 16. It's the top 24. But the top 8 get a first-round bye, and their first game would be a home game.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we're rooting for. I think the strength of schedule might hurt the Knights, though. That's the only bad thing. So, anyway, that's this Friday. Pre-game will be about 6:40 on the AM, 980 AM. and KNTRSports.com. And you can follow the Fighting Knights everywhere we go. It's been like almost all road games this year. Do you think there's a reason for that? Because Steve does the other games,
huh?
The home games.
Might just be scheduling.
Yeah, he gets the home sweet home. Oh. No, we'll be doing the senior night one as well, which is Halloween night.
Cool.
So,
oh, that's right.
Speaking of Halloween, yeah, that's going to be the Summerton game.
Okay.
You've got Halloween safety tips,
yeah,
Chief Pete, and you have Halloween safety tips, Chief Sterling. Are they separate or together? Did you guys get together on this?
We did not.
Well, I think we're always together.
Yeah.
Together with it. This is really about the community come together, fun time for the kiddos. Lots of events going on Halloween, especially on Main Street. We have the Park District, Parks and Recs, are doing something at Rotary. So there's just going to be a lot of individuals stressing just the safety of watching the kiddos crossing the street, making sure that they're visible, even with flashlights. I always love going into the residential estate area. They have the best candy. Appreciate all of you out there. But it just it's a great time for everybody to get together, looking at all the cool costumes and stuff. And I appreciate the city and the business community down at Main Street doing the central location for handing out candy and stuff and everybody kind of joining in celebrating.
So there's still a Fright Night this year.
There is a Fright Night, yep. And that's always a pretty big attended event down there.
Huge.
And, you know, from our standpoint as well, I mean, Chief Pete hit on a couple good things. Really, for the drivers out there, especially not just Halloween, but all of our event season, we're really packed this year with events, is just be patient. You know, drive cautiously. Practice that defensive driving. The biggest thing for us is with all of these events, you know, a lot of people roaming around on foot, is, you know, always encouraging parents to have those continuous conversations with our kids about riding e-bikes and different devices responsibly, wearing helmets, 16 and under, and knowing the rules of the road. So we always appreciate that, and parents, we need your help for that education piece. Some of the other things with, especially dealing with our Halloween Fright Night, you know, keep an eye on your kids at all times, right? And we experience that on the boulevard when it's as busy as it is. We usually have about 3 to 5 different incidents where maybe a kid gets separated from their parents. And so we have a lot of resources established down there. Our volunteers assist with the officers that are on duty, and fire personnel are down there as well. Mm-hmm. And so there's always somebody to reach out to, and we've been very successful in reuniting parents with their lost kids relatively quickly. So those are some of the things. I know one of the questions that you asked, Paul, was about masks.
Yes.
You know, masks are obviously allowed, but what people may encounter is some of the businesses may not allow people with masks to come into their business. And so just, you know, respect that from the business owners. But that's the highlights.
Okay. What about candy? Are we just to assume that all the candy on Main Street is safe then?
Man, you know what?
Pretty much, right?
I always go back to when I grew up.
I know, me too.
You know,
you give it to your mom?
You give it to your parents, and they got to sort through it, right?
That's what I did.
And they toss away the ones that they don't necessarily want in your bag. So I don't know. I think that's probably a good practice, and hopefully parents are still being active in that.
You know what sort through meant to Kay Lavoie, right? My mom? And a surcharge.
Take the ones that you like.
She got the good Snickers and stuff, and we got the rest. So
it's
got
to be like a 10% rule or something,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah. Especially when you got 4 kids, you get to go through the batch,
yeah,
right? Absolutely. All right, so masks are pretty much business.
Yeah, independent
mandated.
Business. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Isn't it funny, though, how the pandemic made masks normal in society, you know? I mean, the surgical mask, anyway.
Yeah, you still see them around now.
You do. You know what Joe Rogan calls them? Well, I'll tell you off the air because it's more political than anything. So, all right, there's a story, let's see. We still want to harp on people about hiking and with pets and the heat. I mean, I know it's not super, super hot outside, but there's still people that, you know, like over the weekend, I guess, taking their pets out and unprepared, and you had a rescue of a pet. So are you still watching people there on the trails and advising them up about, you know, hiker safety?
Well, the thing is, we still have our signage out there, and it's I'll say it's cooling down, but we have a lot more visitors coming into Lake Havasu that understand your personal limitations and obviously your pet. Make sure you have enough water. Plan out your hike and notify someone that you're going out there to. Just so if you're not, you don't come back in a reasonable time, then you know there might be something going on, or you got lost, or whatnot. But also make sure you have a full cell phone charged. Sometimes the signals are not so good out there. But the thing is, I just use common sense. If we could do that, and just be careful.
Yeah. No, I agree with Pete, too. And I heard a story even from this last weekend of somebody I even know that went out there and didn't take any water, just thinking, you know, that they're just, you know, we're so acclimated to being in the heat here. Well, it's still, you're going to get dehydrated out there, so always take water with you.
So we got a text on our text line, 928-727-5566. You can text 928-727-5566, just like on Common Ground, or you can give us a call at 928-854-5687. This concerns an e-bike, Chief.
Okay.
Chief Troy. I was driving on Acoma. It says Tacoma, but I was driving on Acoma the other day. A kid on an e-bike riding down the sidewalk. He did not even look before he came into the street. And before we get the comment on that, I noticed that last night as I was driving and making a turn onto McCulloch, there was a bike that came. And, folks, you might want to wait, because bikes tend to ride in pairs or trios, right? And if there's one bike that cuts you off, well, wait for the next one, or you might just hit them. So,
no,
but the sidewalk is not – is that correct?
We haven't banned e-bikes, e-devices from being on the sidewalks. And the primary reason for that is because we don't have a lot of sidewalks, number one. Mm-hmm. And in areas where there are sidewalks, I think even as a parent, I feel like it's a safer place for them to be. But they still have to abide by rules of the road. In other words, if I'm going down a roadway, I want to be on the right side of the roadway. But you still need to stop before you cross an intersection. And so the unfortunate part is, even if the e-bike rider was at fault, how devastating is that for somebody driving a car that collides with somebody, right, and potentially causes some serious injury? And so that's where that whole education piece comes in, about just abide by those rules of the road. It's so easy for us, you know, I'm a bike rider as well, that, yeah, you want to keep that momentum going and keep going. You think it's safe, but the problem is not everybody sees you when you're on one of those bikes. And so you have to be the defensive mode and making sure that you're doing the stops and making sure people are seeing you.
I may be off on this, or I may just be that much older than you guys, but didn't we used to ride against traffic?
It was always, the rule was always you walk against traffic so you can see cars, right? But you ride with traffic.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Or as my parents used to do, just tell me to go play on the freeway, right? Go do something. All right. Let's take a short break. And I don't know. I thought, why not fire up some Halloween music? It's coming.
Yeah.
Right? Only got, what, 3 shows this week and 3 shows next week, and it's Halloween.
Nice.
There you go. Monster Mash, Bobby Boris Pickett. I actually met this gentleman. Kind of interesting one-hit wonder. This is his only hit, right? So, all right, the Monster Mash on Speak Out, and we'll be back with more in a moment. We're with Chief Troy Sterling and, of course, Chief Pete Palafis from the fire department, and we'll be back with more in a moment. I don't have any tickets right now that I know of, but you never know. Something may happen. Steve just, whew, texts me, and there you go. I have tickets. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
The guest included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backfires baying hounds.
Kind of a spooky song. just Annie Lennox in your ear is kind of spooky to me. But anyway, welcome back to Speak Out. Brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By Just Meats, all the cuts, all the time. Salmon's Air Conditioning, Springburg Wealth Management. By Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, home of a cancer fundraiser this Saturday. It's a car show, right? Big or small, save them all is what it's called. And we'll be out there. I'm not sure what time we're starting, so we'll wait for Melissa to tell us on Thursday's show. Melissa Lucas will be on, the owner of Blonzy's, to talk about that fundraiser. And also A&B Propane, real people, real service, no hidden fees, no runaround. Our newest sponsor, by the way, abpropaneaz.com. So there you have it. And back to the show with Chief Pete Palafis and Chief Troy Sterling from the police department. And what did we want to get to? Speaking of Halloween, right? We were talking about graffiti before the show.
Yeah.
You got to get into this discussion with Tracy.
Yes.
On graffiti. What are the major concerns with graffiti? Where is it happening to?
Right now we're seeing an abundance of it popping up in really our downtown area. There's kind of a, I don't know, maybe a mile radius down in this area that is popping up on private property. Specifically, and so our biggest concern is, and I think community stands behind this, and this is what Tracy and I were talking about, mm-hmm. is the key is we need to get this cleaned up as quick as possible, right? I mean, that's the main goal. In addition to, if we can collect any type of evidence that will help us find those responsible for doing their graffiti, and so that's where obviously, the public's help always is appreciated, but it's also okay to, you know, sometimes there's repeated graffiti reported to us. That's okay. We just want to make sure that it is reported, because if our role is documenting where it's popping up, and that way we take photographs, we walk the area to see if there's any, you know, potential cameras, any type of evidence left behind. It's not unheard of where you might find a paint can or something related to the actual damage that occurred in the area. And so we've been successful, been able to collect that type of evidence and try to get, you know, some type of fingerprints or some type of evidence to, you know, help us.
Sure.
A lot of it really comes down to the identification of the tagging itself. That's what you call it, the tagging, right? So a lot of times those that like to do that have their own monikers, and so they have their nicknames that they're well known for, and so we've been able to tie that to individuals based on investigative, you know, just digging in, right? And a lot of these cases, our street crimes unit really dives in on our graffiti cases, because number one, we don't want it here. Two is, if it ties into any type of affiliation with, you know, gangs or those that maybe are coming to our area from other areas, other states that have those gang affiliations, we want to know about it. And so we're always working to try to identify that. A lot of times somebody that's doing the tagging isn't just doing one area. Usually they're trying to leave their mark in multiple areas. And so we start linking those cases together. So what's cool about what we have going is we have a lot of, I'll tell you about our process. When a police officer takes a report, they take the photographs, they write a report, and if it's on city property, that's truly really easy. We have, between our parks department, our public works department, they'll make sure that that gets cleaned up mm-hmm. ASAP. When it comes down to private property, you know, you see it on site of buildings, sometimes homeowner's property, utility boxes, those type of things. Now it's a part of making sure that we notify the owners of the property and get them to clean it up. Typically, homeowners are really good about getting that cleaned up, and they have resources to do that. Some of the other ones maybe take a little bit longer, and so we have avenues in place where we make sure that those reports get to our code enforcement department, and then they can do the follow-up and put people on notice that, hey, we're giving you a certain amount of time, get this cleaned up. And so that's where, talking to Tracy, you know, I think there are There are currently people out there, volunteers, and I think there's probably other people that would love to get involved and be able to help those that may be in need. They don't have the financial means sometimes to clean up the defacing of the property. And so that's what we're really working on. We have a meeting tomorrow, actually, with some of our city team to really make sure that our processes are in place and that those that need to get the reports are getting them. And so, and that's the biggest thing. You know, we're not always going to catch the individuals responsible, but so our focus is going to be making sure it's cleaned up. And in theory, if you keep it cleaned up, and people are going to stop doing it, right?
My biggest question, I think, is what is, and you maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't, what is their motivation? Do they have financial motive here? Do they get rewarded for that type of behavior from their gang, per se?
I don't know if we have that here necessarily. Maybe from where they came from.
Okay.
That we have had that. Obviously,
I've always wondered that.
It's always about tagging your area, right, and letting other people. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, letting other people or other gangs know that that's your territory, stay out type of thing. We don't have that here. We have maybe a little bit of that influence that has come over to our city, and so they like to leave that remnant there, but we don't stand for that here. If we can catch you, we're going to catch you.
Right.
But that takes a team effort sometimes, and we had a recent case over the weekend. One of the local business owners happened to catch a tagger riding on some business windows downtown area, and so immediately reported that. The officers were able to get there and actually take the person into custody right away. What's unique about it is this wasn't a kid. You know, this was a 30, 40-year-old individual that, you know, had been in that lifestyle for many years and had a moniker and said that was their nickname, and that's what they were tagging on the windows. So, you know, so it's not necessarily our youth, but that was just a good example of that partnership between us and the public, being able to, hey, report it to us, and our officers respond, and we're able to take that person into custody.
Well, if you see any tags that say Polly, it's
Polly,
not me, all right? mine's IE, not a Y,
right,
by the way, just so you know. And, yeah, my time is spoken for pretty much so. So, all right, Chief Pete. It's your floor, right?
Yeah.
Residential Hazardous Waste Day.
Yeah, just really making a push for this this event. We have been doing it. I mean, I've been here in Havasu over 5 years, and we really appreciate the residential hazardous waste event and recycling event. We're accepting electronics also too.
Oh.
So this is a partnership with Republic Service and the city to host these events, and it will be at Station 2 on Saturday, December 13th, between the hours of 8 a.m. and 12 p.m. noon. There is no commercial hazardous waste. This is just for residential, really pushing anybody that has the hazardous waste in their garage. This is your time to get rid of. There are certain limits on it, just due to capacity. But the thing is, that's why we're doing our events twice, I'll say a year, or two events at least a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we do it in April and we do it in December. So we can kind of catch both. You know, the regulars, the locals here, and then our winter visitors that are coming through too. It is, again, for Lake Havasu residents only. This is our own hazardous waste event. Again, September 13th, Station 2, 2065 Kiowa Boulevard. We've been running this program very successfully with the partnership with Republic Service. You enter off a College Drive in back of Station 2. We have signage. It's well marked. And we will accept you. If you're in line at 11:59, you will be accepted. We're not going to basically tell you to go away. But please plan accordingly. But it is between, you know, 8 a.m. and noon. And this is just a time to get rid of the stuff that's in your garage that we don't want you to put in the garbage. One of the things, this was the fire prevention theme about lithium ion batteries. We are accepting these at our hazardous waste event, whether they're damaged or not chargeable. Please bring them, and we will make sure that they're properly disposed. This is not only to save, you know, hazards, get them out of our garages and stuff that would reduce fire. But for individuals that might, and I know no Lake Havasu resident would do this, is dumping this in the desert. We don't want that. We want to preserve and cherish our environment that we're allowed to be in. So this is why we take such a proactive approach towards hazardous waste, because we want you to properly dispose of it. And this has been going on. If you have paint and you allow it to dry out, you could throw it in the garbage. But if it's still liquid, bring it and it will properly dispose it. Or if you have something that needs to be painted, then paint in your house. But I know everybody loves different colors and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Just no graffiti. So,
yeah.
You know?
And if you catch a person doing graffiti, catch a person tagging, don't do what Sean Penn did in the movie Colors, all right? If you remember. Yeah. You remember what he did? Took the paint can.
I remember the movie.
He took the paint can and, yeah, he tagged the kid. So.
Gotcha, yeah.
Anyway, let's go ahead and take a short break. It is Halloween coming up, and one of those songs, of course, the iconic Werewolves of London by the late, great Warren Zevon. Not my favorite Warren Zevon song, but it's great all the same.
Nice.
So, Lawyers, Guns, and Money. That's my favorite. All right. We're with the Chiefs, the Dia de los Dos Jefes. I swore I wouldn't speak Spanish since Jim is not here today. He said don't make fun of him, so I didn't even want to mention him, right? It is Chief Troy Sterling from the Police Department, Fire Chief Pete Palafis. We call him Chief Pete. Some people have trouble saying Palafis. What is that all about?
That's okay. You just call me Chief Pete.
Hey, what's this you cheated on me, I heard, with another talk show host?
Oh, yeah, I do listen to 2.0.
So not that one.
Oh, with...
No, that you were on a show, weren't you?
No, I was...
On another station?
No, I wasn't on it. I was saying I was going to be on when I was talking to someone. I would never cheat on you. I love...
I thought you did that show.
This duty. No.
I hear good things.
It's
just a different... It's on an urban format station.
Oh,
no?
No.
Out of Parker, I think.
No.
Wouldn't be you.
No, wouldn't be me.
Must have been a different chief.
It might have been.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Try not to howl during this song. We'll be back with more in a moment on Speak Out. Stay with us. Welcome back to Speak Out, and that's where Marissa goes, more cowbell. What is it? I got a feeling. I got a fever. Something that can only be cured by more cowbell. So she loves that skit. The kid is not, she's not 21, I'm telling you.
No.
It's like, no, there's like a...
Well, this was a Saturday Night Live skit with Will Ferrell.
Right, Will Ferrell and?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. I don't. And I can see his face, too. Scary face.
Yeah, but he's hitting the cowbell right now.
I got a fever. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu Style Dining and Live Entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Also, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, The Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with Bobby and Julie Lewis, and also Looky Lou's Antiques and Collectibles. Check out their website, LookyLoosHavasu.com, and it's Christopher Walken.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a scary guy.
Yeah.
If you've seen, have you seen Things to Do in Denver when you're dead?
I don't think so.
Andy Garcia is in it. Christopher Walken is the big mob boss. He's the head cheese, and he orders the hits and all that. But he's a quadriplegic in a wheelchair, and his nurse is Jenny McCarthy. It's a great movie if you have a chance to check it out. I know you're a movie guy, right?
Yeah, I love documentaries.
Oh, okay. Any type in particular?
Just really like business, and I really watch American Greed.
Stacy Keach.
Yeah, so
on the narration.
Yes.
He does a great job on that show.
He does.
But I tend to drift towards World War II and Civil War documentaries. I don't know why.
Yeah. It's just awesome to learn some of the history, but the thing is, learn from other people's mistakes.
Well, there is that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't follow my lead, because you'll have plenty of mistakes, including when I read these PSAs like Dogs Against Domestic Violence. This is from Haven Center and Western Arizona Humane Society. The Haven Center is proud to partner with WAS for this year's parade. Their Dogs Against Domestic Violence event highlights the healing bond between pets and people. By wearing purple, we raise awareness that abuse affects the whole family, animals included, and celebrate October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. By walking side by side with our four-legged friends, we show that compassion, protection, and hope and hope can break the cycle of violence for both humans and their beloved pets. And that is this Saturday at 10 a.m. London Bridge Days Parade. There you go. The Dogs Against Domestic Violence. So we had Sergeant Gray in here.
Yes.
With Mary Lou. Yes. Talking about domestic violence and that. A problem in the community, obviously. It doesn't seem to go away, but...
No. It's not one of those that you have necessarily a strategy behind, you know, to keep that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
But it tends to be one of the top calls for service that we get every year.
How important is Haven in helping the Lake Havasu City Police Department?
Oh, very, very important for us. Having them on contract allows us, number one, a nice place for those that, you know, victims of really a lot of different crimes, but allowing us a safe place outside of, let's say, the police department that can be intimidating at times, but having that safe place where victims can speak to investigators in that type of environment. And then, you know, let alone the law enforcement side of it, but now you have, you know, the personnel there that are trained and can help victims with the next steps, you know, creating safety plans, different resources that may be available, those type of things. So it's a great partnership.
Chief Pete, I want to get to Station 7.
Yeah.
You have an update?
Yeah, you know, actually I just came from a meeting this morning with Wilming, which is our individuals that are doing our construction management at risk, and our designer Perlman, and we were reviewing our 60% at design, looking at some cost estimates, and just kind of retuning the not so much the design, but just looking at the overall cost of the project, and hopefully just making some tweaks and then moving it to the 90%, where this is where I feel we're going to get better estimates of what it's truly going to cost us for Station 7. So just still shout out to, you know, our local contractors. Anybody interested in, you know, please contact the city and get in contact with our with Wilming, because the 90% will be coming out. So we're making progress. It's been a little slow, but still chipping away at it, and hopefully 2026 is going to bring some moving that along. But you know what I really wanted to, if you don't mind me segueing off of this, I want to give kudos out to Jerry Bracamani and her group for chief and most of the department directors, even though police chief and fire chief are chiefs. The Havasu Residence Academy been going on, where we're about halfway through, 4 weeks, yeah. And this is an opportunity for individuals to understand about what's the ins and outs of city government, but going through each department and explaining what services that we provide. And I just had the opportunity to work with the HR director, Bobby Kimmelton, and we did our kind of presentation to him, and we had 2 hours to give this presentation, and went by so quick, so a lot of information, but all the applicants out there that are involved in it are just engaged, great questions, and anybody interested in city government, this is a great program for you to understand what each of us department directors or departments do for the city and how we all work together. So really proud of being part of that program that was started with the city manager's office, and Jerry Bracamani was it's a great program. I really enjoy being able to kind of explain what the fire department does and how we work together. So just want to put that tidbit in, because we talked about Station 7 and then about some of the challenges that we have in the next couple of years with this our staffing.
You guys get a chance to be a part of her videos at all?
Yeah, I'll let you, Troy, the faces of Havasu. Yeah, I don't think us, like, we tried, I mean, because we're on Speak Out with you, and we're out in the public all the time.
Yeah, but she's Jerry. I mean, you know, that's way better than Speak Out. Yeah. Come on. You can't even see us.
You're right.
I like watching them because there are some employees that in the city that I don't know, and so that's given me a chance to even get to know others. I'm outside of my own department, and so I think it's a cool program.
You have Kyle Ridgway on that, don't you, for traffic tips?
That's Jerry Burns. Does the
Jerry
traffic
Burns,
tips,
okay.
He's our traffic sergeant. Yep.
What? How are the? You know, I can see online how the medians are being, accepted, if you want to use that word loosely, right? But do you guys hear complaints about them at all? The medians on 95.
Yeah, not us particularly. Just through the either social media or the things that come in through the. The different sites mm-hmm. that...
Do they help with safety, though? I would think they would with the drifting, over... especially on a medical episode.
My personal observations is that I noticed that a lot more people drive in the right lane.
I noticed that,
And I think it does slow down most vehicles, for the most part. So I think that piece is helpful. I don't know about the... preventing collisions. Obviously, I think it probably would. I don't know. I wasn't part of the research that goes into that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Just letting the public know from my own personal observations what it looks like.
Yeah, I love that part, by the way, the drifting over to the right.
Yeah.
Especially, there's drivers from a certain state that visit us often, and they don't like to pull over to the right for some reason. I mean, I went to Cambria, and I mean, however many hundreds of miles that is to get to the coast up that way north, and they drive in that lane, in the left lane, even in their state. So notice I didn't say that word.
You did?
Yeah.
I did not. I was careful about it.
It was self-control. Right.
So you got a lot of people, Chief Pete, and Havasu especially, because you have the Marine Corps Detachment 757 that mm-hmm. sell the live trees and that.
Yeah.
You were telling me before the show something about live trees, where not to put them if you buy a live tree.
Well, the thing is, I think the consumer for live trees is in your house, especially being out in the desert, and it's celebrating the holidays that we have going on. It's just making sure that you maintain it. It's dry here. So there's just another combustible material in your house that is a fire hazard. We were talking about public spaces. That they had to be fire resistant for being in a public viewing. That's mm-hmm. why it's so easy just to have a fake tree, because it's always green. You don't have to water it. It's really less maintenance. But during the holidays, individuals that maybe are from different regions of our beautiful United States like to have some of that tradition where you had a live tree, but make sure that you have enough water so it's moisturized, and make sure it's not. just that it's being fed.
Sure.
The thing is not drying out. Mm-hmm. So there's where you basically can catch a fire if there's an open flame about it, and it's just a hazard. So I love live Christmas trees, but the thing is then you have to dispose of them.
I was going to ask you, as a fire professional, mm-hmm. upper executive,
The chief?
The chief, right. Is there any instance where the Department of War and Finance, i.e. your wife, would convince you of getting a live tree in your home?
You know what? She hasn't asked. She always likes the fake trees because they're always green. And
that's a dream.
Yeah. Maybe that's why we're so compatible. She's never asked for the live tree, and the kids haven't asked for a live tree.
Right.
And especially being out in the middle of the desert, it's just something else that we'll have to maintain.
And don't let them go over to other kids' homes that have live trees. Or that's how it spreads, right?
Just make sure that there's water in the tree to feed it.
Chief Troy's laughing. Do you have a live tree or a fake tree?
You know what? We do fake tree, but my brother does the real tree. I like going over there. I love the smell, everything associated with it. And that's what we had grown up on. I don't like the mess. So that's why I've gone that
way. We used to go up in the kind of central northern part of Nevada and cut them ourselves.
Yes.
It's just kind of fun.
Yeah.
In the Midwest, too, where I'm from, Chicagoland area, we had live trees. And we would do the same thing as go cut them down. It would just be a tradition during the holiday times that we would do that.
I still get made fun of in my family for that tree. It was when I was a teenager. I went out and cut it. And yeah, they still give me grief over that.
Well, so. One of the best movies that I watch is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I mean,
is that a tradition for you guys?
I watch it all the time, and it's The Christmas Story, too. So those are two that during the holiday times I watch because it just kind of brings back memories of when I was a kid and stuff.
Well, we'll probably wash, rinse, and repeat on this topic because we have two more shows. I believe you guys are on before Christmas. There's a two-week break that we take, and I'm pretty sure that third week you're on at the beginning of that week.
So, cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're good there. What about the, we talked about trees. What about lights? So, is it such a hazard now that we moved away from the C9s and we have the LEDs now?
Yeah, it's still a hazard if you're overloading the circuit and if you're still using the old lighting because they heat up.
The screw-in?
Yeah.
Those are the C9s.
Right.
Yeah.
So the thing is the LED, but the LEDs can have such a longer strand and they last and if one of them's out, the whole strand is not out, which is definitely a benefit. But you still have to be very cautious.
You ever have your picture taken in front of an LED tree?
Do you see the glow?
You can't see the people. It's bizarre. You have to almost dim it down to almost nothing.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then you have, which is really cool, folks, the smart bulbs. And you can program them for Christmas, like your porch lighting and stuff.
Yes, you can. There's a lot. The technology out there nowadays is just amazing of what you can do, and just the creative things that individuals do for their holiday directions or decorations that they do.
So I kind of was trying to run out of time, but I'm gonna just touch on one topic. You had an officer involved shooting, which was very strange that it was a former officer that was involved as the suspect.
Yeah.
But was that a domestic?
It was started from a domestic call for service, yeah. That one actually was in the paper today with the upcoming court dates and everything.
Right.
That officer has
been... Was he retired?
The officer that was involved on our end?
No.
Oh, the other one? I don't know the complete background.
It's a strange case because he was decorated for charitable giving mostly.
Correct, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I don't know the background yet. We haven't had a debriefing yet. Mojave County Sheriff's Office is doing the investigation for us, and typically their investigators will come down and give us a debriefing for our staff. So that hasn't occurred yet. So I don't know all the ins and outs, but the officer is doing great, and he's coming back. He actually started back to work on Saturday. So
I thought it was interesting that the assailant brandished a weapon, but there was no shoot to kill. It was more of a wound, right? He ended up in the hospital.
Correct. He didn't end up dying from his injuries. Correct.
Oh, he did?
He did not.
No, he did not. That's correct. What I meant.
Yeah.
Is that standard practice now, is not to try to kill?
Well,
it depends on...
We never use that terminology.
Okay.
It's always stop the threat.
Stop the threat.
Right.
Okay.
And so sometimes placement of shots, movement, everything comes into play on those. So
the other one I saw, Chief Troy, is the guy who went through town about 115 miles an hour?
Yeah.
What in the world?
Yeah.
What time of night was that?
I don't remember the time.
Okay.
I don't think
okay.
it was too late, though. Uh-huh. That's just concerning, right? When
it is concerning.
Drive recklessly like that. That does deserve and does lead you to actually spending the night in jail. Excessive speed is one thing, or criminal speed, 20 miles an hour over the speed limit, that's typically a cite and release. But when you're endangering the public like that, that's go to jail.
That was 115 and a 55.
Yeah.
That was on 95. So what would concern me as an officer, if I were an officer, would be to pull that gentleman over. I guess he pulled over and got his ticket or got arrested or both.
Mm-hmm.
So no incident.
Yeah.
That's the weird part.
I know.
To me. But it's like, why were you doing that? I don't know. I'd say I could do it. So anything at the end here that you want to get out there that we haven't talked about yet?
No, I just want to recognize we had a badge pinning ceremony on Wednesday, and this is from Deputy Chief, Battalion Chief, Captains, Engineers, and our individuals that just got off of probation, and we had 16.
They're not probies anymore?
They're not probies. And, nice. what I want to say to all of them, it's a great ceremony, but for the entire department, I'm proud of all of them.
Nice. So you should be.
Yeah, I am.
Right.
Yep.
Your people that came through Wahleta, mm-hmm. Do you still have them? Are they still with the department? Or trainees.
Yeah, the ones that graduated in June, they're actually getting ready to complete their field training, so they'll be solo officers here in the next couple weeks. And so those four are doing good, and then we have four still in the police academy right now.
Oh, very good. So, all right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
For them to make it out and to be solo officers, it's like...
It's a long journey.
It's like hatching an egg, right? Yeah. Kind of, a little bit. All right. Again, our guest, our Chief People Office, and, of course, Chief Troy Sterling. And thanks, guys, for being here.
Yeah, thank
we'll
you for having
us. See you next month.
Sounds good.
Not sure what date it is, but...
We'll figure out
You'll be here.
All right. Sounds good.
Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot. Stay with us on Speak Out. When I look over. All right, a little music from the Sabs, also known as Black Sabbath. Well, the late Ozzy Osbourne. That sounds so weird to say, by the way. Tomorrow on the show, updates from the Lake Havasu Unified School District. I have the name. It's in my email, and I'm not looking at my email. And then we'll have, of course, Board President David Rose will be on the show. David was on, actually, Common Ground this morning. They were talking about AI, of course, artificial intelligence. And I didn't get to listen to a lot of the show, so I'm going to hear it online, probably like you. And you can go to KNTRtalk.com for all of our archives, whether it's for Speak Out, Speak Out 2.0, or Common Ground. All right, tomorrow's another show. I'll see you then on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.